Welcome to the Career Zone podcast, where each episode we spend some time focusing on something that's on students' minds right now. I'm your host, Rachel, employability and careers consultant with the University of Exeter. You can catch up on all of our episodes by doing all of those subscribing and following things. We're on Spotify and iTunes.
Welcome to the University of Exeter Career Zone podcast. My name is Sunny Nally. I'm an employability and career consultant with the University of Exeter. I'm joined today with my wonderful colleague, Nikki, who's also an employability and career consultant. Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good to have you here. And we're also joined today by the wonderful Chloe Bayliss of Cornish Lithium. Hi, Chloe.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Thanks very much for coming to talk to us today. And we're really looking forward to the conversation. And this conversation will be very much exploring some of the exciting developments at Cornish Lithium and looking at some of the employability options at Cornish Lithium, but also taking a deeper dive into your own story and journey into Cornish Lithium and looking at some strategies that we might want to share with our listeners about how to settle into a new job role.
So we met you, Chloe, at the Careers and Opportunities Fair last October. And after we got chatting, realised that it hadn't actually been that long since you'd finished your MSc in Sustainable Development. And it was such a nice story to hear that you've gone full circle from studying here to now helping to recruit new students and graduates into the business. So we thought it'd be really nice for you to come along. So thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed today.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Well, shall we kick off with our first kind of question? And we'd love to hear more about some of your insight into what Cornish Lithium does. And pretty much relatively comparatively a new company compared to, Kellogg's or IBM or other companies out there. So love to hear more about your sense of what Cornish Lithium does and how it sort of settles into the local economy.
Yeah, so Cornish Lithium is looking at extracting lithium, basically, in Cornwall. So we're trying to do that in kind of a responsible way. So ESG, which is environmental social governance, is at the forefront of what Cornish Lithium do. So what we're currently doing is there's two sides to our company. One side's the Hard Rock project. So that's based near St. Austell. So that's where I'm based. And we're using a brownfield site, an old China clay pit, and repurposing that to extract lithium from the Hard Rock. The other aspect of our company is with the geothermal waters. So that's drilling a series of boreholes across Cornwall to test the geology basically beneath our feet, look at the lithium which contains within those waters, but also the geothermal heat that's contained with that and the potential of using that within our operations, but potentially within the community. So yeah, it's an exciting time with the kind of two aspects of our company.
And very much sort of vital work that is fundamental to us fighting climate change.
So how did you discover Cornish Lithium in the first place? And how did this opportunity arise?
So I discovered Cornish Lithium mainly through my fascination with the industrial and kind of mining landscape that exists within Cornwall. When I started my master's programme, there was lots of talk about the fishing communities and kind of the sustainability around that. But there was an aspect of that that I felt was slightly missed with the kind of mining and that kind of history that does exist within Cornwall. So I was just kind of fascinated, started kind of researching about the past, and then the kind of idea of the future came into that. And Cornish Lithium cropped up within my research. So I attended the Truro Careers Fair, went along. It was an electric vehicle kind of conference show thing, and me and my dad had always been interested in that kind of technology. So they were there and I introduced myself, got chatting, and I'd only just started my master's programme but knew that I wanted to do the placement module. During my last year of university at undergrad, unfortunately it was during COVID, so opportunities for kind of more industry style experience, unfortunately, I didn't really have. So to be able to do that going into my master's was something really key. So yeah, when I introduced myself, I kind of teased the idea that I might have this module coming up. We kind of shared contacts, and then yeah, that's kind of my first encounter with them.
Did you do a placement with them? Isn't it January to March?
Yes.
What were you doing in the placement?
So I approached them a few months later when that module came round, just before Christmas. And at that point, I had kind of established my interests. So obviously doing a social science master's, I was interested in the kind of social kind of impacts and responsibility that exists within the kind of mining industry and this renaissance that was about to happen. So, yeah, I basically approached them and wanted to explore the local community around their hard rock project, which is the Tralaba project, and look at their kind of attitudes, their heritage connections, just their general perceptions of the project. So I developed a questionnaire with them and conducted that, yeah, over the course of my 3 months with the company.
And so how did that move to being the role that you now do?
So after that, I continued researching into kind of that sphere of community and the social kind of, yeah, impacts and I guess perceptions that exist around mining. I did this also with tin. So I looked at kind of the other industry that's kind of taking off in Cornwall and the history that exists with that. And again, I kind of got to the end of, towards the end of my master's, end of my research, and I just kept the dialogue going between Cornish Lithium when they were at other careers events and like the Royal Cornwall Show and things like that. I'd always go say hi and keep a friendly dialogue, and I got on really well with a lot of the team when I was there. So yeah, I kind of just maintained that. And so then when it came to the point of looking for a job, I basically approached them again and said, you know, I had such a great time and I'm really interested, and the opportunity kind of arose from there. So
brilliant, well done you, that's fantastic. Really proactive approach. It's good.
Yeah, really interesting how, you know, I can sense how you very much have fostered that long-term connection, you know, with your current colleagues, and very much, yeah, that story originates from the Truro Career Fair. And yeah, I'm wondering, you're thinking about kind of developing that relationship, what strategies did you use to help you to develop that connection with your now current colleagues?
So I think probably having confidence was really key. I think my master's actually gave me a lot of that. I think before I was maybe, yeah, just not as kind of forward in that kind of manner, and also just being kind of persevering. These companies are so busy, and although Cornish Lithium is relatively small, now being part of the team, I totally understand that we are so busy. So to actually respond to one student's email or one thing, it can easily get lost. So kind of me trying to maintain the relationship and keep going, really, and, you know, keep updating them on things, I think helps me with that. So yeah, confidence definitely on that front. And I think also knowing my rough area of interest was really helpful. I've got a background in geology, and obviously Cornish Lithium need geologists as well, but I knew that my interests lie within the kind of social realm. So I think having a rough idea of maybe where you'd like to be in industry is really helpful. It's not, doesn't have to be certain, but kind of knowing roughly what kind of area definitely helped me kind of slot into to my role now.
So very much sort of having a sense of your own identity and your own values and interests, and checking how they interface and align with Cornish Lithium. And very much, you know, I hear very much that story of you being persistent and just staying on the radar of Cornish Lithium. And that was through regular check-ins with Cornish Lithium. So, yeah, I think very much powerful, you know, guidance and advice that I think will help all of us in our development and progression. So you mentioned earlier the master's, just coming back to the master's and actually coming back to the end point of the master's and that transition point from the master's to working full time. Now that can be quite a difficult space for many of us to undertake, and I would love to hear more about your sense of how that transition worked for you and what strategies that you deployed to help you in that transition to go from, you know, studying a master's and going back out into the work world.
So I think my transition into the work world, it was quite nerve-wracking, if I'm being honest. It obviously was quite, it's very different. I've never had a kind of industry kind of role, so it was very new to me, and I was nervous but also incredibly excited. It's something I really wanted. And I feel like a good kind of thing that I kind of took forward that helped me kind of settle in was asking as many questions as I could, just kind of shadowing other people. And what's kind of great is because I am part of such a small team, there's about 9 of us on the ESG team, that I could kind of latch onto different people's roles and kind of understand the kind of company in a bit more depth. And then, yeah, ask as many questions as I could. I've been with Cornish Lithium now for kind of 5-6 months, and I feel like I'm finally finding my feet. But even then, I'm still learning things every day. And so I think it's almost not putting too much pressure on yourself to kind of be perfect from the start. Mm-hmm. And the role that I do as well, I have very much kind of a lot of responsibility and action that I can do independently. So it's kind of having your own drive to make you do those things, which I think ultimately leads to like your passion, because I'm really passionate about the local communities and capturing these voices and understanding Cornish heritage and kind of the future of that. So I think if you have the passion and the drive and you kind of are patient, you do kind of find your feet and settle in. And don't be afraid to ask questions. I still do now. And I'm sure I will in like a year's time or whenever. Yeah. Constantly learning.
And I think that that's the mark of investing in a role. You know, asking questions demonstrates enthusiasm. I think it also, you know, it demonstrates kind of an emotional connection. So, I certainly agree. You're asking lots and lots of questions. It is definitely the ticket to integrating into a workplace. I'm probably also bringing cakes in on Friday.
So it sounds like this role is really aligned to your passions and your values, and you've had a really good, strong sense of those. Can you talk through your job and your responsibilities and what you actually have to do?
Yeah. So my job very broadly kind of looks at connecting with all of the different stakeholders that we have at Cornish Lithium. So it's making sure I maintain connections with them and communications. On an even wider level, it's looking at maintaining the social license to operate. So in order for our project to go ahead on the hard rock side, which is where I'm focused, we need the community to be on board, basically, understand what we're doing and have their support. You know, we're going into their home, their area, and it's vital that we connect with them and understand how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my wider kind of goal, I guess. Mm-hmm. But also my job is incredibly varied. Working part of the ESG team means I could be doing water monitoring one day, I could be in the pit, I could be in planning meetings. It's totally ranged, which is really nice joining a company when it's quite small initially, because you have that kind of... Mm-hmm. diversity within your role, and I'm expanding my skills even more. So yeah, it's been great. It's very, very different and also very creative. I get to do lots of kind of coffee mornings and help design kind of communications and posters for them. Like, I've got a questionnaire that I've just put out, so it's all very different, but really, really exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, very much so. There's a sense of there being high level of variety of different tasks and different settings. And think about adapting to those different tasks. You know, imagine that in a typical day, you've probably got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different tasks and projects that you're doing, potentially going to different settings. How do you manage that level of variety? You know, what tips would you suggest to our listeners to manage the variety of those tasks and then settings?
I think having some sort of routine is really important, although my job is so varied. Kind of, yeah, having some sort of structure is really great. Also communicating with your team is really important, and being a team player. When I'm doing kind of water monitoring or the ecology side of things, I obviously work closely with our ecologist. So maintaining those communications and relationships, you know, internally is also really important. And yeah, I think just kind of managing your time, making sure that, you know, you can still get everything done. And yeah, as I said, just kind of communicate that. It's often quite a lot to balance all these things, but it can be done. And I think it's okay to also ask for help in those situations or support, especially when you're transitioning into the role. It's totally okay. And I still do now. So yeah, I think that's really important.
Great. So thinking about kind of the masters, you mentioned earlier how the masters in some sense conferred a degree of confidence. And I'd love to just kind of come back to the masters and, you know, taking a little bit of a deeper dive there, no pun intended. So thinking about the masters, how do you feel that the masters specifically equipped you for your current role?
So I think the masters did help me to some degree with the knowledge that I gained. I studied sustainable development, so we were kind of looking at sustainable development goals and kind of, you know, wider sustainability on global scales, but also in Cornwall. So I think having some knowledge of that was it is really helpful. I mean, I'm part of, you know, the ESG team, and we want to have a sustainability report this year. And there's some kind of skills from that which are transferable across. But actually, on a more wider scale, I don't think necessarily what I studied is necessarily needed for my role. I think the role I have can be, you could have a range of different skills that can be transferable from kind of all masters and degrees. I feel like kind of the main takeaways from my master's was confidence, as we mentioned earlier, but also the opportunities. I feel when you go into master's kind of level, you're kind of opened up to a whole new world of kind of employability and different kind of opportunities that just arise from that. And I think being slightly mature as you go into a master's as well after going through undergrad really helps. And I kind of think that obviously when you go into master's, you have maybe more of an idea of what you're kind of interested in, slightly more niche. So yeah, I think kind of the opportunities that sprung off that were really great, because I don't believe if I hadn't done my master's, I would have met Cornish Lithium and I would have be where I am now. So I think a lot of that is just kind of the opportunities that spring off the back of, yeah, the master's.
Yeah, sure. And Chloe, do you feel in some ways the master's gave you the opportunity to speak the lingo with your colleagues, in so much as having that sort of, talk about that commonality and connecting with your colleagues? I think so much of that very much comes about from coming from a similar script, you know, a similar alignment of interest. And so much of that, I think, you know, to my mind, comes about from having a shared language. Can you just tell us a little bit more about how you feel the masters might have kind of equipped you to talk in that common language with your colleagues?
Yeah, so I think the master's kind of the range of kind of what you get up to in the programme really helped me with that kind of language. At undergrad, I had kind of maybe less of kind of discussions and that kind of thing. And I remember on my first day in my first ever lecture, it was kind of an open forum discussion on these big sustainability topics. And it was kind of helping you formulate ways to kind of, you know, convey your arguments and how you're feeling, or, you know, different viewpoints. And I think those skills are really important kind of going into industry to kind of, you know, if there's a discussion over a certain topic, or even to have that dialogue with your colleagues, it's to how to kind of professionally communicate these problems and things, especially when you're dealing obviously with communities and, you know, quite sensitive topics sometimes. So that was really helpful. And I think also, I also did a podcast, funny enough.
What, there are other podcasts out there?
For one of my modules. So even things like that, I think communication, I mean, I'm not exactly an expert, but I mean, it definitely did improve my communication skills. And yeah, just on the whole, just kind of helped me transition.
Yeah, so very much what it kind of gave you more in the way of practice to hone and develop those existing skills and take those skills up to a more an advanced level.
Definitely, yeah.
So what's been the best part then about transitioning from study into work for you?
I think it's probably actually contributing to something and seeing almost like a change. I feel like studying the communities and the kind of social aspects of things, it was amazing and it's great, and I've you know, continue to kind of contribute to that. But to actually then input that into the industry and have that direct link and impact is great. And that's what I think has kind of been the best aspect of it, and kind of capture those voices and actually have impactful change. Yeah, has been great.
And also the opportunity to meet Nikki and I.
Exactly, yes.
I'm not sure that's an opportunity, Sunny.
No contrary. So thinking about that transition into your first role, and I wonder, Claire, what key attributes do you feel recent graduates could focus on to develop and succeed and flourish in their first role?
I think experience. And I found that really hard before, trying to just get any experience in industry or what I was interested in. But I think kind of volunteering your time or kind of doing research, or if you can link a project in any way to a company or industry, is great. If I hadn't have done my module with Cornish Lithium, I definitely wouldn't be with them now. And even with my master's dissertation, I connected with Cornish Metals, which is a tin company in Cornwall. And I mean, that was even great then to kind of maintain those relationships. And I'm still very friendly with them now. So I think if you can attach some kind of research or work to a company that maybe would benefit them, but also, you know, you and what you're doing, I think is really, really key if you can, and gaining that experience. And I think to gain that experience, yeah, just be proactive, put yourself out there. If they don't reply to an email, maybe send another one. Just if you're really keen and passionate for it, then just keep trying, and I'm sure it will come.
So very much from what I hear from you is the notion of kind of being determined and striking out and trying to foster those connections and conversations that help you to reflect on your own values, your own interests, and help you to discern whether the companies that you're targeting are also the right fit. And you're looking at that line between the future employer and you as the individual.
Definitely, yeah.
You were saying earlier, Chloe, that you felt quite nervous when you started, even though you already knew the company, when you actually had to start for the first time. So what practical tips could you give to graduates thinking about adapting to the culture and dynamics of their new workplace, even if it's familiar?
I think just being very, very friendly and open, and yeah, just being patient, I think, with yourself, and allow yourself time to kind of transition to the thing. It was a very big change for me, and I did feel very overwhelmed and maybe that, oh, you know, what am I doing here kind of thing. But actually, you know, I worked really hard, and I think sometimes you have to almost just kind of step back and reflect on that, because it had been so quick from finishing my master's to going straight into my job that, yeah, it almost felt like a bit of a whirlwind. So I think just allowing yourself time, and I think, yeah, just being really friendly and kind of asking questions when you need to, working well within a team. Yeah, those are kind of my top tips, really.
Thank you. Really good.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Chloe. I mean, certainly, I think, you know, for Nikki and I, we've very much heard your story of one of that curiosity, striking out connections, you know, perseverance, you know, demonstrating resilience in that initial, you know, reaching out to Cornish Lithium. It's been really great to hear about some of the wonderful instructive work that Cornish Lithium is doing and how it, you know, has benefits not only, you know, beyond Cornwall, but certainly within our local economy. So thank you so much for taking time to meet up with us today and talk about your journey into Cornish Lithium. And if any of our listeners want to find out more about some of the skills that we've touched upon in today's podcast, such as networking, we do have skills workshops that you can register through Handshake on Handshake Event. So definitely recommend checking that out. And we've certainly talked about conversations, the power of networking. And we do have schemes such as Ask Alum and the Career Mentor Scheme, which are powerful tools and devices that can help you to speak to industry specialists and gain a sense of, you know, what the opportunities are in potential sectors and industries. So thank you again for taking time to listen to our wonderful conversation. Thank you so much, Chloe.
Thank you very much.
And Nikki, thanks for putting up with me.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll see you next time.
This was the Career Zone podcast, brought to you by the University of Exeter Career Zone. Check out iTunes and Spotify to keep up with all of our regular releases. And if you'd like us to cover something else in another episode, just send us a message, hashtag CareerZonePodcast, at UOE CareerZone or at UOE Cornwall CareerZone on Instagram, and we'll follow up in one of the next episodes.